So yeah, Clash Bar.
Clash Bar.
You like this place?
This is the first place I've came to in Berlin. Okay. When visiting. Our friend took us here, and it's my favorite bar.
Is there any particular reason why it's your favorite bar?
The vibe inside, it's grew up on punk rock, and
it's
a punky bar, punk metal bar. Sometimes they play bands I like, which is, you know, rare.
But they don't have live shows here.
They do.
Oh, they do?
Yeah,
oh,
they
wow.
bring like mostly ska punk bands. Mm-hmm. They do once in a few months, like a closed event thingy. And they have a stage inside.
Okay.
This used to be, I think, a squad that they converted into a bar at some point.
All right, well, cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks again for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
I guess we'll get started with the episode. This is episode 13 of Voices from the Dark. And today I'm featuring an artist. This is the artist number 9. And
A number.
Yeah, you have a number. Well... It's the not your number, but it's the number of the episode. I guess we can get right into who you are in a second. Just want to make a couple announcements as I usually do. This is probably my favorite series is the artist series. Sort of like my therapy session, my regular therapy session. As you probably know, I've got the Mistaken Ideas podcast, which I've now done 2 episodes and a couple of new ones coming out. The You Capitalist one, which is about socialism. That one, I think I talked a lot about that in the last episode, so I won't go too crazy talking about that right now. And then a couple of upcoming collaborations. Just wanted everybody to remember. These will be... One will be starting in September, and that's for a 9-episode series with music, actually. I'm not going to say too much about that either. It's all quite undefined at the moment. I guess the Fallacies podcast, I should say, everybody who's listening, and Anton, of course, you can do the same. Just tweet at me, tweet at Voices from the Dark, I should say, about the different examples of the fallacies that we talk about on the show, and just get involved, have fun, try to learn something with me. This is all a learning process for me, not just the podcast, but the fallacies too. And then what else did I want to say about Mistaken Ideas? Pretty much just, let's try to get some participation going. I will do some more social media posts about that, and then I'll also definitely gonna have to do an event at some point on Facebook or whatever. I'll figure it out. But the Dirty Dozen party, which is basically another milestone celebration for the podcast. It's the Dirty Dozen, basically, we did so far. Now this is episode 13, but before that, yeah, it was number 12. So that's coming up, and it's to be announced. And so let's finish up with those announcements. That's it. And let's move on to the issue at hand, the artist.
The issue.
We've got another
number
artist.
Number 9.
So usually most people know at this point if they've listened to the artist series. Have you listened to the artist series?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, okay.
Episode 10.
Episode, all right, the one with Mike. So you know that I try to keep it sort of journalistic in a way, because this series is definitely not about me. It's about the artists, and it's about learning from artists, because I think that a lot of, you know, people can learn a lot from not only the work of the artist, but like how they actually live, and like.
Well, I certainly have.
And you've learned from other artists as well, of course.
Many artists.
Okay. So let's get into that. But first. Like I said, keeping it journalistic, let's start with the big W question, the who. Who are you?
I don't know.
Who are you?
I am Anton. Yeah. I am from Israel, now living in Berlin. I'm 31. I like long walks on the beach. I don't know who I am. I'm still trying to figure that out, because I don't know. I think life... kind of is about figuring out who you are, and then you die. Like that's the reward, the end boss in the end of this game. Yeah, so true. I don't know. I've been a graphic designer. I've been an art director. I've been a video editor. I've been a dancer.
Really?
Yeah. Well, when I was 13, my mom made me do it. I've been.
Was it ballet?
It was ballroom dancing.
Actually. Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
wow. I said. I have pictures there. I've been so many things while trying to find myself. So I don't know. Even calling myself an artist is kind of weird because I don't see myself as one for really? Some weird reason.
Tell me more about that. Why do you... I mean, you are a writer and an artist, right? So
yes.
Maybe tell us...
Well,
you know,
I hope.
Tell us a little bit about what you do, but I really do want to keep it focused on like who you are. But what's your not art? What's your art?
Well, right now I'm trying to create, to become a writer. So this is a new thing. I've been doing it for like 2 years now.
Okay.
I kind of realized a few years ago while working, you know, an office job, being an art director, which was great. And actually it was an amazing job by itself, but it never satisfied me because, I don't know, being in an office, being in some sort of a structure never worked for me. So I was trying to figure out what I can do with myself that wouldn't like end up with me being on the streets asking for money. My grandma used to say, like, don't sleep under the bench on the trains in the train station. That's and I said, it was grandma, it's really comfortable. Hides you from the rain, nice people come and talk to you. But I don't know. I'm, as I said before, I'm still trying to figure out writing. I've been always a storyteller. Okay. Steller. Not like I've been lying to people for a lot of time. I was thinking about it today while thinking, while listening to your podcast and kind of preparing myself. What should I say and not say?
Mm-hmm.
And like I used to, when I was about 9, I had the ballroom dancing partner. She was my neighbor, and I would hang out with her and her mom outside of our house in Israel.
Okay.
And I would do these little skits, like as a kid, just tell them stories, and they would like crack up and laugh. And her mom would say, you know, you should be an actor, you should be a comedian, or you should be something. And life kind of led me in a different direction. I went to design school, became a graphic designer and a web designer and okay. builder and other boring stuff.
I don't think it's to me. I love that shit.
But. Yeah. Well, do it for 9 years.
Yeah. No, I can imagine.
Talk about it later. It was fun in the beginning because it's a website for me in the beginning. Like 10 years ago, I'm 31, 32 almost. So even 12 years ago, a website to build a website wasn't that easy. Not everyone. Not people didn't have WordPress and Wix. Mm. So every website for me was a story I would tell. Like it's a business. The first website I made was for this company that would give this satellite services for your home. Like they would install a home media center, and not a business that didn't last for a long time. But the website itself told a story for me. Like I would tell, like, hey, you want to get entertained? Don't have any money for the movies? Invest $90,000 in this.
It's oh, man.
No, I'm making up a number. But as it became more commercial, it became less appealing to me. And it kind of became systematic, you know? Like, my wife, at some point, well, when she became my wife, we would work on it together, kind mm-hmm. of from home, and it became so systematic. Like a client orders a website, and we build it, and it's just boring.
Yeah.
Like not. Like when you like I don't know done like 1,000 of them, mm-hmm. it's. There, you know, there's the saying: if you do something for 1,000 hours, you become an expert. Well, I've done web design for 1,000 hours, and I don't like it at all.
Okay.
Might be an expert. Well, I'm not an expert. So what was the question?
So basically, what was the next step after that? So you started writing 2 years ago, but when did you finish?
Yeah, yeah.
Or when did you stop doing your right. boring job?
It wasn't boring. It just
and did you consider yourself an artist at that point at all?
Never, no, never, never. Still don't.
Right.
Even though people tell me that I'm an artist, and I have a problem accepting compliments.
Okay.
Yeah. So even people go, "Oh, you're such a good artist." I'm like, I'm a cheater.
But do you think that just being an artist or somebody calling you an artist is a compliment, or being a good artist obviously is the compliment?
I honestly don't know, because I just.
So what makes you feel reluctant to call yourself an artist? I know we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here.
Maybe.
So yeah. So tell me more about Israel. You were there your whole life up until now, or?
No, I was born in Ukraine, in Crimea.
Okay.
Specifically, and.
Oh.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I guess I'm Russian now.
Yeah, and that's a very interesting place right now.
Yeah, it's great. And you should all go visit there. Pleasant beaches, and I mean like the sea.
Yeah, the Black Sea.
There's a sea. Yeah. I heard. And it's pretty great. During the summer, like, you have coffee shops, tanks, all the things you want. It's amazing.
Damn, it's a crazy place right now.
Yeah.
So
moved when I was 8.
Oh, okay.
And my mom took me from Ukraine. Best thing ever. Israel was such, I didn't think I would have survived in Ukraine.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't grow up with money, and I think my mom made this hard decision, which is now that I moved there with my wife 2 years ago, a bit less, a year and a half. And
Wait, you moved to?
To Berlin.
Ah, to Israel. Berlin, from Israel. Right.
And I was fully able to appreciate the sacrifices my mom made for me when she took me, her and my grandma took me, and themselves, to Israel. I like losing, you know, the friends, the social structure they had, because like I grew up, like my mom would have like, but not like cocaine parties, like parties, you know, outside. I don't want to say something stupid.
It's funny that you may immediately go to that. It's like, oh no, my mom's not, or she doesn't have cocaine parties.
I
just
swear.
Regular parties.
it makes me wonder. baking parties. No, I just, when I say party in Berlin, you know, people
I get it.
No, she would like, they would do like barbecues and, you know, just a get together.
Yeah, like normal parties.
Exactly, no cocaine. Not that I remember. And if they did, I don't care. So losing that and moving to a new country, I can totally appreciate the sacrifice she made for me. And if she hadn't, I don't know, I would probably be in prison or worse, because as I don't want to diss Ukraine or Crimea, but as I remember it, or stuff I read, or people I know, it's hard to survive. Mm. Like, it's hard to, but not definitely if you're an artist.
Definitely if you're an artist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, also depends where. If you live in one of the big cities, I guess. So I haven't been back since we left. So my opinion is skewed to an 8-year-old's point of view.
Yeah, I get that. But you still have an impression of how it was.
Yeah.
And you have people in your life who are informing you also now of how it is, and also of how it was. I'm assuming your mom still has memories of this.
Well, they want to, like, they're in the retiring age, and they want to move back, get a house.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow!
If you're there, I think like you need to leave at your 20s and come back in your 60s, because the middle part, like if you have money, every place I guess on earth is great if you have money.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But not that they have money. I'm just
right.
But
maybe they have more, or they feel more confident. Or
yeah,
something.
That cocaine business really took
off. Especially in Israel.
Yeah, this is one of the things I shouldn't talk about.
No. I know. I think everybody realizes you're joking.
Hopefully.
So
you'll be surprised.
Yeah. Well, you know. I mean. Yeah. It's always good to have some surprises, I guess.
Yeah.
It's entertaining as well.
Just for the record, my mom does not sell cocaine.
And so
she's an artist, by the way.
Oh, she is.
Yes.
Oh, okay. And what does she do? Well, I don't want to make it about your mom right now, but you know, you can talk about it, of course.
She's an inspiration in a way. She started, so she supported me for all of my life, basically. She was a travel agent. Yeah.
Okay.
For all of her life, she was a hairdresser in Ukraine, and she kind of gave me the freedom to do whatever I wanted. So growing up as a kid, I had a punk band. We were like planning to tour the world, obviously didn't. When I was like, you know what? She's like, no, maybe you should get an education. And I started looking online in like what's my options that is not like accounting or medicine, like stuff that pretty bore me. Especially being a doctor terrifies me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I found this college that had like a post-production thing to it, and she fully supported me, like helped me with the tuition, and gave me never pressured me to getting a real job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until I made I started a business pretty much fresh out of college with the web design.
Yeah.
And she never gave me shit about it. Like she would never. But she didn't paint. And when I got married and I became more independent, I think because I was an only child and I don't know my father, so she raised me by herself. And when I finally got I got married to the person I love, yeah. Not because it's a thing in Israel.
Yeah.
And I think maybe then she felt the freedom to pursue her own dreams. Ooh. So she started painting, and she paints a lot better than I do.
Okay.
I had maybe two shows ever, and she every week I see on Facebook she's selling art there, like in a gallery somewhere, or she's showing it somewhere else, and she sends me like we talk about art, which we never have done before. Like I really, really like it, I really enjoy it. Like this is a bit weird. I don't know. It feels weird to say. I really enjoy talking to my mom. About art, you know.
Because
most of
I don't think it's that weird.
Well, yeah. I guess I just.
It's okay. You can think it's weird.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna.
I think everything's weird. We're in a simulation.
Maybe. So your mom was an artist before, but she wasn't really doing it.
Well, when I was a kid, do you remember the old Spider-Man cartoon?
Sort of, yeah.
Like the old one.
Yeah.
It's not even the amazing. Never. That's not mine.
No. Yeah. I mean. I think I might have seen like one version of the Spider-Man cartoon, and it's probably not the one you thought. If it's the really, really old one, I don't even know.
It's like from the 90s.
Then it's probably the one I know.
Yeah.
Probably.
So, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
The point is...
fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah, let's talk about Spider-Man. This podcast is brought to you by Spider-Man. when I was a kid, I we didn't have money for like coloring books, so I would be like, Mom! I want to draw Spider-Man, so she would freeze frame like the show,
because
I would record it, bootleg it, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't arrest me. And she would draw it, like she would draw Spider-Man like in inks for me to color as a kid, and she would draw it like perfectly. I remember it perfectly. And that was, and so I think she always had this artistic thing in her, but maybe the pressure of having a child, which I don't know, I don't have any kids yet, took more priority than, you know, developing also, you know, 80s, it's not like develop your artistic self wasn't a priority for people.
No, make money.
Yeah, exactly. Make money, support your family and all that.
Okay.
So, yeah, so when I think she saw that I am a grown-up and I have my own family and I'm doing fine, doing what I love. She told me that. It gave her, she understood that you can do what you love.
Mm.
And it's a weird, circle. She inspired me to become who I am. And then I ended up inspiring her to take out her artistic side. And it's that I find really cool.
Yeah, totally.
That's and she's like me. She's like she can take a compliment, and she sends me paintings she does, because I paint digitally.
But she sells her work.
Yeah, she sells.
Well,
her
getting paid is a compliment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So she does take the compliment.
Well,
it's the best kind of compliment.
That's the thing. I think we artists. Well, I don't want to speak for anyone besides me. I don't see. I don't really value money. You know, money is like what I use to buy beer.
Yeah.
I've tried this approach of I'm gonna work to make lots of money and money will bring me happiness. Never had brought me any happiness.
Okay.
Problems, pressure, lots of pressure from clients, and I suck at any bureaucratical thing. So doing your taxes was a big pain in the ass for me.
And so in Israel you were working as like a freelancer or something like that, or
it's called like a small business
owner.
Yeah.
Okay.
At some point I was making a bit more money, so I became like I was adding VAT to my stuff. Yeah. It's
tax basically, sales tax. Yeah,
but I'm not. I know people that do it and they work a lot and they work really hard and they make a lot of money and they're really happy. I wasn't one of those people. Mm. I'm so much happier right now and I make not a lot of money and I'm kind of like actually happy here in Berlin. Also the cost of living is a lot lower.
Yeah, for sure. That's something I want to get to in a little bit when we talk about, you know, your kind of location as an artist or as a non-artist.
Just call me Batman.
Let's go. Yeah, exactly. Let's go back to. So, you're basically you're a writer and you're a visual artist. You draw, you paint, you do visual art. And so, I guess let's go a little bit back into your past and say, what was your first? Now I know you don't necessarily want to call yourself an artist, but just for this episode, let's pretend you're an artist.
I don't mind you doing it.
Yeah. Okay. So,
I don't want to do it for myself.
Okay. Perfect. So, what was the first artistic thing that you did? I know you said you did some punk music, you did drawing, like when you were a kid. But like now that you look back on all that, like I want to get a picture of like your path, basically as an artist. So
my origin stories.
Basically, yeah.
So I was hanging out in this chemical plant. No, I'm kidding.
You're definitely a comic book fan.
Yes. Well, yes and no. I actually read my first graphic novel like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've ever read a graphic novel.
Really?
Yeah. You're gonna have to teach me about that as much as you can on this episode.
There's pictures and there's dialogues and then can you read them one after the other? It's easy. It's really easy.
Okay.
Kids do it all the time.
That sounds easy. So your first artistic experience, let's say.
Being born.
That's creative. But you didn't do that. That was your mom.
Yeah, well, didn't I?
Did you?
I don't know. I have this weird memory. Well, that's not weird. I have this memory when I was a kid, and I always drew, like, you know, like kids do, like with crayons, and the cheap equivalent of crayons from Ukraine. Crayons and
Ukrainians.
Ukrainians made with cheese because it's edible, you know.
Yeah. Practical. Oh yeah, the non-toxic crayons.
Not toxic. You draw, you eat. It's great. So I remember drawing, I don't know, this train, horse train, like a train made out of a horse. It's like weird, right?
It's like a mythological beast.
Kind of. I was kind of copying it from a book, I guess. I think I was 5. And I just remember I drew it and my grandma showed it to my mom, and because my grandma was watching me at the time. And my mom went, "Did you draw it? Like, really? Are you kidding me?" And my grandma was like, no, look, he's an artist. and that's my first memory of impressing someone.
Okay.
Let's say that. When I understood that that was art, because I thought art is like you paint something and it has a meaning, and you know, I used to think about like, okay, what meaningful thing can I draw?
Yeah.
And whatever I would draw that I thought had a meaning to it, people would not really respond to. But whenever I would be like, fuck it, I just need to draw, I need to relax, I'm stressed out, and this is kind of how I relax myself, then people would be like, wow, that's amazing, you're a great artist. And I'm like, what? This is just a naked woman made into a tree. I don't know. I was drawing without thinking about what I was doing.
And
really.
People responded to that more.
Yeah, because I guess my wife tells me that maybe that has more of a like a deeper me in it.
It's like a subconscious or an unconscious meaning.
It's a lot of naked women, but yeah.
This was all when you were five years old.
Mom, what are those?
What happened after that? So you started drawing at a very young age. And then what was your next step, do you think?
You're going to have to split this podcast into two parts if I'll tell you the entire story. Because I'm detailed.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you have to come back on the podcast, it's not going to be a problem. You can come back anytime you want.
Can I have a segment?
So you it can be
fun with Anton.
Yeah, exactly.
Today in this no, I won't do a bit. Yeah, what was the question?
So basically,
by the way, I'm dyslexic. I can forget what I'm talking about.
Is that dyslexia?
Maybe.
Or just
I call
forget?
It dyslexia.
Okay.
It's
sounds just like
me
forgetfulness.
Being fucked up.
So then basically your next step after like draw after starting to draw, this probably went on for a certain amount of time and then
yeah, I never believed I can do anything that has to do with art ever.
Even when you were drawing?
Yeah. Drawing was always like a hobby, you know.
You never thought of it as art.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, just it's when I was growing up, it was a thing I would do in school. When I became past the age of 15, 16, 17, it was also a thing I would do in school, but on the table. And this is how I got girls to talk to me when I was a kid.
Okay.
Really entered that friend zone quickly. And yeah, I have so many best friends. I used to have them. They're all dead. No.
Oh, jeez.
I'm kidding.
No, you can go there.
Yeah. No, I would just...
I mean, not really go there, but, like, it's okay to joke about murder. I'm a horror writer myself.
I didn't say I killed them.
Well...
I said they're
all
dead.
Okay,
humans
that's true.
For the murder.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. That's
you're
my,
evil.
That's, yeah, well...
How does your
evil.
Basement look like?
It's very, very packed right now with stuff.
With dead bodies.
Just... No, whoa, hey, no. I didn't say that.
Next on our podcast,
so,
how it is to be arrested.
So basically, you said you were also a musician at some point. That was at the same time as being an artist?
It's all in this group of I don't see it as art. I always drew, and then I had the punk band because my friend was like, why don't you play bass? And I started playing bass and started singing. I suck at singing, but it was when Blink-182 became famous. And I would hear
you're
them.
You're losing me now.
What?
You're losing me now.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Well, the point is not
you
that...
You said punk and then you said Blink-182.
To listen to the end of the point. That I saw their shows and they can't sing live.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, I can't not sing live as well. So we played like punk. We played pop punk, but I guess... Well, this is not a musical podcast.
No, it's not. But actually, I would like to do a musical podcast at some point. Yeah. It's one of my sort of favorite things. I'm
music?
Also a musician. Yeah.
Cool.
But let's. I guess.
Want to start a band?
Huh?
Want to start a band?
Sure.
Yeah.
We just need a drummer now.
I know, 3 drummers.
That's a lot. We just need one.
Or it's a concept. Then.
True. There's bands with multiple drummers. So let's get into what you're doing right now. So that's the second question is what are you doing right now? What takes up your time? What are your plans? Yeah. So current projects.
So I'm a registered freelancer in Berlin. I hope. not my German is not good at all.
Oh my
I got some letter from the tax.
Finanzamt.
Yeah. They said, blah, 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 here's your number, blah, 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 and I'm Jewish. And I was like, okay, cool, numbers from the Germans.
Oh, my God, Jesus Christ.
no, I'm kidding. I know what I am. Also, it's okay for me to joke about it because I'm Jewish.
Okay.
And I have, yeah.
Actually, we should clarify that you're Jewish and not just a Russian who lives in Israel. All right, so...
I am completely Jewish. I grew up, my family is also Jewish.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah. I'm going to stop with that. Because it's... I know it's like...
I mean, you don't have to be Jewish to be in Israel. That's the only thing I wanted to clarify.
Actually, you have to have some sort of a Jewish lineage to
really?
You. Or, yeah. Or it's called Chok HaShvut in Hebrew. It's you have to have 3 generations back to be Jewish.
Oh, man.
So my mom is... really Jewish. My grandma is really Jewish.
Aren't there
and
non...
It has to be on the mother's side.
Are you sure there's no non-Jews in Israel?
There's like, a lot, but, yeah. You know.
And there is
there's
really
lots too. Of non-Germans here.
So yeah.
We're just
well,
2 of them currently talking.
Well, actually, that's true. But I'm not a citizen here, though.
Me
I'm a citizen of Europe, but I'm not, like, a German citizen.
Well, see, I am not even that. I'm just... Yeah. I have a residence permit.
Oh, okay.
Because of my wife.
Is she German?
No, she has a job.
Oh, she has a job. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's either Germany or a job. Let's write this stuff down. Especially the listeners who are just new to Berlin, you should get a job or be German. Or be Italian, like me.
Well, say when you say be German.
Be German.
It's really easy. First of all, you get the currywurst. Second of all, you get the beer.
Well, the beer, for sure. Currywurst, I'm not sure about that stuff.
Yeah, I'm a vegetarian, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not by choice.
So no currywurst for you. Furry worst.
Furry worst. Cheesy worst.
Cheesy worst. Curry so basically, cheese. So what do you do at the moment? You're a freelancer in Berlin. Right. Registered, official, maybe.
Hopefully. Or it's going to be really weird that in the tax return stage.
Yeah.
Who are you? I did a few music videos because I'm also an animator. And right now I decided to really try to be a comic book artist or a graphic novel artist. So I've been posting on forums, like my pages for my comic and saying, hey, I'm a comic book artist. I'm looking for paid gigs. People have been writing to me. I've spent actually the last 2 weeks reading people's scripts, which is amazing for me. To some of them are truly amazing, and it's kind of awesome that they're like, let's collaborate and we want to pay you like this. One of them I wrote my rates, which are not considered a lot of money for, because I don't have any experience working with other people.
Okay,
and. The guy was like, I don't know, it's really expensive, but I really like your style. I really want to work with you, so let's figure out a way we can do this. And that's really awesome to me. I love stories, and if I can help bring other stories to life besides my own, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Never done it before.
So is that what you're spending most of your time on right now, the graphic novel, or the helping other people with their basically scripts?
All of the above.
So you're doing all that stuff?
Yeah. Well, there was a really hot week now.
Yeah.
And all I did was it being in the lake.
Really hot week.
Yeah.
Temperature-wise.
Not hard. Nothing is hard.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess some people think it's hot, but
where are you from?
I'm from New York. It gets hot there.
Really?
Yeah. It gets actually hot there.
My wife is from Boston.
Huh?
Boston.
From Boston.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I have a friend who happens to be Jewish coming. Later on this month, and his girlfriend is also from Boston. Girlfriend, not wife, but anyway.
Not yet. Pressure.
Yeah, wink, wink. That's for you, Ira and Christine.
It's a shout out. Have some babies.
So, all right. So you're working on graphic novels, and you're reading people's scripts
basically. And videos. I'm doing. Videos.
And doing animated videos.
Yes.
Music videos.
Yeah, I've
specifically.
Been
not you're not like branching into like short animated films or anything. Or
also. Yeah, that's why I said I can talk for hours because I've done.
You sound like a little bit like me, just doing everything and nothing at the same time.
That's like going back to your first question. I still looking for it. Like I don't know. I can't be one thing. I can't say I'm a graphic novelist, writer, comic book artist. A dancer, a professional beer drinker. I don't know. I'm trying out stuff. See what I like. I've made in Israel. I made a full feature film with a really cool guy, really good writer and director. His name is Sharon Maman, and that was 2 years, and one of the coolest experiences ever. Things got a bit hairy towards the end because we had no budget, and it was. Like I may have taken too much on myself because I was like, yeah, I can shoot it, edit it, do all the post-production and all the stuff. And it turned out to be a bit too much work, but finished it. And we both are really proud of what came out.
Okay.
And this is another like hat I have hanging on my wall.
And so what did you do for the film?
I shot it.
You shot it?
Yeah, I shot all of it. And Sharon directed it, and we edited it together. Actually, like we would meet a few times a week at my house, and we actually also record. Like we would do like recording breaks, and we would record music just for fun, just to kind of disconnect ourselves.
So this was a friend of yours. Was he also in your punk band?
No. It's somebody we kind of met through a mutual friend who ended up being the lead actor in our movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know him before, but we kind of met briefly and kind of connected right away, and then decided to go on this adventure, and we have, and it was definitely a thing I want to do again. Like, cool. This the graphic novel, I want to tell stories, and as a like a, doing a graphic novel is just the easiest way for me to do it right now. But I am working on a short film I want to make, a short animated movie, which is this dystopian thing set in Berlin. Because I've never actually made, like, you know, one of those artsy, out of college movies. And
I'm not sure what that is, but I mean, I can imagine. But yeah, I don't think that's actually a genre. But
it's in my head, it is. like something that it's like you can rewatch it again and again and be like, oh, I see like a little detail there, and I see like a little the world building that is done in the background of the shot, and like one, it's just an idea I had about Facebook.
It's about Facebook.
It's about the social
media.
Yeah, like the collecting of data and whatever that happened for the past few months.
So basically, you've got a lot of stuff on your plate at this time, and. At the end of the podcast, or now if you want, I think we're going to take a little break in a couple seconds. Sure. But do you have any current projects that you want to mention? Or
I have my comic book. I'm about to launch a Kickstarter. It's called Willa.
Okay. It's called Willa?
Willa.
Like Willa.
Yes. Okay. You can search Willa 86 because it's set in 1986.
Okay.
The year I was born.
Okay.
I'm going to be launching the Kickstarter in a few days. I was going to do it tomorrow, but I made my video today before I left, and I watched it and I was
Kickstarter
like...
Kickstarter video.
Yeah. And I watched it and I thought, it's really boring. I need to... And I'm not in it, and I think...
Oh, you're not in it?
No, I just... Yeah. I animated the first 3 minutes. So the first
not,
8 pages.
You're not talking in the even.
I was just going to introduce myself and then let the video play. But it's not that the story is boring, but I would like to see the create, like somebody that is, if somebody asking me for money,
mm-hmm.
To fulfill their dreams, I would like to see who their this person is.
No, I get that.
So I figured out that I should talk.
It gives a more personal thing. Personal edge to it that people can like relate to more, I think.
Hopefully.
So, and then later on, you can give me the actual link to it, and I can put into the notes of the show. Because if you've noticed from on the other episodes, especially the artist series, one of the things that I want to do with this podcast, this artist series, is to promote artists, especially ones that are on the show.
Yeah.
Anyone else too, you know, if you send me an email, tell me a nice story, maybe I'll promote you, but it's usually reserved for the guests.
Yes.
So we're going to take a little break. I really do think this might need a couple of episodes to talk about Anton.
I told you I talk a lot.
Yeah. No, that's great. Then that means I don't have to do as much work. but when we come back from the break, we can talk about more about, you know, your specific path and maybe why you chose Berlin and how things were more specifically in Israel, you know, as a, even if you were doing mostly web design, I'm sure you still have some stories about the artistic things you were doing.
One or two.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll be right back with Voices from the Dark. We're back. Coming at you from Clash Bar in Kreuzberg, Berlin. I'm sitting here with Anton
Yogorov.
There was
a character in Mission Impossible named after me, like General Yogorov.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, Daddy! I wasn't.
So we took a little break, got some fresh beers, and we're going to continue dissecting Anton.
Please so be
we
gentle.
Yeah, I'm going to try. We talked about your path from Ukraine to Israel to Berlin. Maybe you can. So you've been here for 2 years in Berlin.
A year and a half.
A year and a half. Okay.
A year and.
And how do you find you as an artist? Because you're an artist just for this episode. Now, I know you were doing the web design, which was boring and not art or whatever, in Israel.
Well, I don't want to say it's not art. Well, for me, it wasn't fun.
Right. So,
Just to clarify, yeah. So people won't, because I have lots of graphic designer friends and web designer friends. I appreciate all the stuff they do, and they're super talented. And I'm not at that field. Like it wasn't for me, so that's why it bored me specifically. I didn't want to say that all web design is boring and stupid, just for me.
Yeah, for you. Yeah, yes. I get that.
All statement that will be said from now on will be just about me specifically.
I think we got it. So you can say whatever you want. Don't worry. No one's going to judge you. And if they do, well, let them. So what do you think is the difference between Israel and Berlin in terms of being an artist? Like, the challenges that you faced in Israel compared to the challenges you face here, economically, creatively, emotionally, psychologically?
Well, first of all, the language is a big difference. Mm. German is fun.
It's a very nice way of putting it.
It's really fun. I'm really trying to learn it. I try to use it as much as I can. I'm doing the
host air quotes.
Air quotes. Bunny ears. But I'm not that successful yet.
Okay.
All my friends here are German, so they try to help me learn.
So you feel like language is a challenge for you here?
Yeah, because I have a problem sitting and learning stuff. So being in the integration course, it was a challenge, because just to sit there for 4 hours and listen, it's not the way I learned things. Like, all the things I learned ever was kind of on my time.
So like, learn by doing.
Exactly.
So now everybody always talks about how cheap Berlin is, and we talked about that a little bit on the break. Obviously, it's definitely cheaper here than Israel. Were you in Tel Aviv? Or?
I was in Haifa.
Okay. I don't know where that is, but
It's the north.
Okay.
It's awesome. You should go.
One day. It's not on my top 10 just yet, but I'll be there.
As a tourist, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah? Why is that?
Because it's... If you have the money, it's fun.
Okay.
Price-wise... So we went back a year ago to visit family and friends, and I kind of got used to the prices here with the beer drinking, because I like beer, I like going out in general.
Yeah.
And I kind of we were in this bar, and I forgot this bar I've been going to since I was 22.
Okay.
And I forgot the prices, and I drink Guinness usually.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so a beer is like 8 euros there.
Wow, yeah.
And I drank
for
6.
A pint.
Yeah. And I drank 6 beers, and I was like, shit. This is all the cash I had, because I forgot that it's not. Well, here it's 5, but still, it's a 3 euro difference.
Okay.
But yeah, everything there is. Some stuff are a lot more expensive, like the alcohol or all the fun stuff, if you will. Cost of living is more than
here.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good example. Mm. It's close. I mean,
oh really?
Kind of. Like if you can
for a 60 square meter apartment, how much is the rent?
So we paid, but that was also like 2 years ago, and prices rise. So I have no idea if this is still the case, because all of our friends are, I think, have been in the same places for years.
And they have their whole family and stuff like that. And
yeah. But it's not the apartment thing. It's what comes beyond that. So it's not the rent. It's the water and land tax that you have to pay and electricity and water. Mm. And I'm not a responsible human being. So I would get into lots of you haven't paid us for 2 years situations. You know, this is how it is there. here it's like you have the warm rent and it covers most of it. And
yeah,
I don't know. I think they have some sort of a land tax, but I don't have to pay it, or I am paying it without knowing it.
And yeah.
By I mean my wife, and we. I mean we. And you know, the big difference isn't the money aspect. That's I never valued money, so I don't really cared about. Like, it's a bummer to get like those like letters from the bank. Hey,
yeah,
you're out of money. But it's the opportunities that you kind of lack for people like me.
Oh, okay.
In Israel. I mean, it's a huge startup scene, huge technological scene. If you're into startup and like you're a developer or like a graphic designer, UI, UX designer, that's the place to be, I think.
Okay.
It's even, I think, even more advanced than Berlin.
Okay.
In that scene specifically, like we have Tel Aviv and Herzliya, which is the hub of all the startups and technology centers and all that stuff. But art, like I want to draw comics, not a thing you can do in Israel.
Oh, okay.
There's no, our movie that we made, it opened the Comic Con of Israel. It's called the Icon Festival. It happens once a year around October in Tel Aviv.
Mm-hmm.
And we opened our, I think even our premiere sort of was there on my birthday a few years ago. And that was my first time in a convention that was geeky.
Mm-hmm.
And for like that specific experience was awesome, because I was like, oh, other Doctor Who fans and other like comic book fans. But then I came to the Comic Con here in Berlin, and I was like, oh shit,
it's better.
Yeah, it's
bigger.
It's bigger, faster, with
stronger.
actual famous people.
Oh.
Like we met like my wife saw. We're big Doctor Who fans, so we saw Bill, the companion from the previous season, and that, just to see people like from that I grew up watching, like Star Trek and stuff like that, that were here this year.
Mm.
That was,
who was here from Star Trek?
Everybody. That guy.
John.
The
Picard?
Engineer from I don't remember.
Geordi LaForge.
No. From Star Trek Enterprise. Which was the one that came after Voyager.
That's the only one that I really never watched because I couldn't stand it.
It got good in season 3 and then it became weird at season 4.
I didn't even get past the first few episodes of season 1.
Well,
I thought it was too American. Like, the actors were like too like nationalist. Like,
really?
Yeah, like Earth is better than every... You know, they were just like, oh, you guys don't do things the way Earth does it.
Fuck you.
Fuck the Klingons, all that kind of thing, you know?
I don't think it's a quote though. Like, fuck the Klingons.
No, I think that's a direct quote. No,
okay.
Obviously not. All right, that makes sense.
Oh, you know what? Who was there? Sorry, Flash Gordon. That was cool.
From the movie.
From the TV show.
The TV show.
It wasn't the TV show.
Shit. I only know the movie.
Sort of an American area.
I don't know, the one that doesn't
the cool
watch
one.
The series. I thought there was just a movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
Flash
I know
Gordon.
The guy.
Flash Gordon.
I know him from references to him in other movies.
Not the Flash.
No, not the Flash.
Flash Gordon.
Flash, yeah, the guy that he's pretty old.
Yeah, he's like super old. No, that was a movie.
Not super old.
That's pretty. He's older than me.
Obviously.
He's probably like 70.
You're not that old.
I'm 40.
You're not that old.
I'm not 70.
Yet.
But He's 70 probably.
Look, it's good to have goals in life, you know.
I
want to be 70.
One day, yeah, I would like to be 70.
I want
to
be Flash Gordon and people argue if I was in a TV show or a movie.
So, all right, so Berlin, was there anything particular before you came to Berlin that drew you here?
About Berlin specifically?
Yeah, like why did you guys decide to come here?
Well, a really good friend of mine lives here. Her husband is German, and he's in the sound industry.
Okay.
And they would visit us twice a year in Israel, and we would talk a lot, and they would hype up Berlin a lot.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not a person that would go by somebody's opinion. I have to experience it for myself. So for my wife's 30th birthday, we came here. It was a present from my mom. Came here, and I think we just landed And within 2 hours, driving from Tegel Airport to Neulendorfplatz.
Nice, good spot. That was my first neighborhood.
Really?
Technically, my first apartment here.
That's a really cool, amazing neighborhood.
Yeah.
As soon as I stepped out of the bus, I look around and I'm like, we're moving here.
Really?
Yeah.
Neulendorfplatz.
Yes.
All right. Was it the kebab?
No.
That's what got me.
I don't know. Just the vibe. Like, it's so... Maybe because I'm just nostalgic for, like, you know, that Russian architecture.
Okay.
When I was growing up, I just felt at home right away.
Do you feel like there's Russian architecture in Neulendorfplatz?
I don't know. It's not like the Israeli architecture, so it's really different. Not better or worse, just different. Yeah. And I don't know, just as soon as we stepped off the bus, me and my wife, Tzipi, her name is.
Tzipi.
Tzipi means Tzipora is the full name. Mm. In Hebrew, it means like a bird.
Bird.
She's awesome. No, really? it's a real name.
I believe you.
It just felt right. Like, within, I think, half a year, she found a job here, and we were already packing up the cats and about to move.
With some tape.
Yeah,
So you basically moved to Berlin not for any particular artistic reason. It was just a feeling that you had.
Well, I had a feeling that this will be more opportunities for both of us.
Okay.
For me and for Tzipi.
Did you know something about the scene here, the art scene?
No? Nothing.
Okay.
And I still don't know anything.
Okay. Well, it seems like you're doing a lot of stuff already, so.
The thing is, most of my clients are from the States anyway.
Okay.
I have one client, two clients, three clients.
You're counting. Four clients.
Sorry. Four clients. I forgot about them.
My son watches Sesame Street right now, so it's like the count, and you're like Ukrainian, so it's like one, two, three
clients.
Four.
Well, I was referencing Whose Line Is It Anyway, because I watched it a few days ago.
That's some old shit.
That is, yeah. I love
it's
improv.
Been a long time since I watched that.
So,
all right, so Berlin.
Yes.
I think...
it's pretty cool. My first client here was my best client ever. Just, he gave me, we became friends, and now we're developing a short film together, the one I talked about before. Yeah. I don't know what it is about Berlin specifically, maybe because it's, you know, Europe, and it's much older, but people here are more relaxed.
Yeah, for sure. I feel that, and
they give you freedom. Like I tend to become friends with my clients here, for sure, and also in Israel. But I'm a friendly person, and so I met this guy. He's a bassist in a band, and we met for me to make a video, and we kind of. Also kind of hit it off. We became friends. I'm going to see him on Friday. And he also gave me... He gave me freedom to do whatever I wanted. I made a lyric video. It's like drawings that I drew. And I went really fucked up with the imagery. Like, it's a bit Masonic with, like, bloody... It's called Blood and Tears.
Like sacrifice.
Bleed Me Dry, so if somebody wants to YouTube it. And they never really were like, oh, this is too much, or no, don't do this. Like, everything I would send them, they were like, yeah, awesome. And they published it, and I think it has like a shit ton of views.
Nice.
One of the most viewed things I've ever done.
And what was it called? Blood, what?
Vlad in Tears is the band.
Vlad.
Vlad.
Like Vlad. Like Vladimir.
Yeah, exactly.
Vlad in Tears.
And the... The song is Bleed Me Dry.
Okay, so I guess we're going to jump ahead. Usually I ask the why question first, but since you mentioned on the break about your wife and how you've been raised by women and how these women are kind of like inspiration for you and they support you, maybe you can tell me... Now this is usually like... I've been told... it's a sensitive question. It's like, how do you make your living? How do you do this? How do you be who you are? Like, how do you be an artist? Like financially, how do you like get it done? Like, how do you live as an artist? Like, economically speaking.
Economically, I don't know. I can only tell you about the mental, emotional side of it, and the way I am able to do this. The reason is because my wife is amazing. We've been together for 9 years, married for 7, but we counted together time.
Yeah,
because otherwise it's weird. And just counted that when we signed the documents.
Yeah,
and if it wasn't for her. I'm really hoping she's not like sacrificing too much, because she has a career and she has a job, and it's a good job, and I think she's enjoying stuff. We're definitely enjoying Berlin a lot. She's the adventurous one. Like, if it was up to me, I would be like, I'm gonna sit on the couch, watch Netflix, but she finds like adventures to go on, and every time I kind of fight her on it, and then we go and I'm like, shit, this is so much fun. I thank you for being persistent. And persistence be like, you want to go? And I'm like, no. And she's like, but really? And I'm like, okay, fine, let's go. And we go. And she's kind of been like leading me into this, trying to avoid like biblical references, because I'm not religious. I just, they seem to pop into my head right now. She's been, I don't want to say supporting, because it sounds like I'm a, you know, a deadbeat, kind of. I make money.
Okay.
I don't want to say how much for tax purposes.
Let's just say you don't make anything right now. Nobody knows.
No, I just actually sent a bunch of invoices to the insurance. So the emotional part is more important, because I have this support, like, hey, honey, I think I'm going to try to make a movie now. And she'll be like, yes, like, let me read the script, let me, and she'll be completely supportive. She'll tell me the truth, and I'll be like, that's good, good job. That's, you wrote about unicorns, fucking bunnies, that's a great movie. And she will tell me her honest opinion, and I think she has a great taste in everything, and I listen to all, like, I used to have, I had a shrink,
psychiatrist,
for 3 years. She took me from being a cook in a pizzeria to an engaged business owner. I was, if you ever seen The Big Bang Theory, there's,
yeah,
the Indian guy, Raj, can talk to women unless he's drunk. That was me growing up. And my shrink kind of fixed that in me. She helped me kind of develop myself and made me a human and not a work, like a cog in the machine.
If you
And I forgot the point of this.
Emotional support from your wife.
And since then, it's kind of taught me that I couldn't have done it by myself. Like, if I didn't have this emotional support, even today, me and my wife, we walk every evening.
Mm-hmm.
I pick her up from her job in Demeter, and we walk to Vedin, which is a 2.5-hour walk.
Okay.
We used to bike, but then I broke my bike, and now the weather is being weird. And this is the time we spent talking about her day and all the like stuff, the life stuff, you know. And for me, I really was thinking about it on the way here, and I don't think I've been sitting here without my wife. Mm-hmm. Calling her my wife is a little weird. We are technically married, but wife is a possessive term.
Yeah, no, I totally feel the same way.
Yeah, I don't wear my wedding ring because I don't own her. We're partners.
Yeah.
Partners in life, partners in everything. I named her producer in my comic, because if she didn't support me, this wouldn't have happened.
Mm.
And everything I do, and also she edits my text.
Yeah.
As I said, I'm dyslexic. This is not how you spell scout. You wrote fuck. Yeah. So, yeah, but I don't know. Like, I can't even imagine my life without my wife, and I can't even imagine the future, how my future would look, or my present, without her. Like, I just, I think we just ate, like, an integrated part of each other.
You know? Yeah, integrated, or integral. Integral, yes. Part.
Use the good English.
Yeah, the good English. The New York English. All right, that leads me to the final question.
Final countdown.
And this might actually be the easiest question. Sometimes people have a hard time answering it, but I've also seen that it could be the easiest one.
It's 7.
Well, that's it. That's the show for today. He got the right answer. That was what I had written on my pink card. It says 7 right here. Now, so basically, why do you do it? Why? What makes you keep doing this stuff? It's challenging. It's you need a lot of support. Most artists do. What pushes you to, or what makes you want to do this? Whatever your art is, whether it be the videos, the music videos, the films, the drawing, the everything. Like, why?
Why not?
Okay, is that final answer?
Well, I don't know. Because I can't imagine doing anything else.
Okay.
Well, I can. It will involve a pool and a lot of alcohol. But
a swimming pool.
Yeah, a swimming pool. Not
in Miami or something.
Yeah, in Miami. Or the Miami equivalent of Europe.
What's that? Nice.
Italy. Yeah.
South of France. I was just
south
there. I actually felt like
Turkey.
It was like sort of Miami-ish.
Yeah?
Well,
actually, Israel, I would say, well, it's not in Europe, but it's tropical. There's a sea.
Yeah.
If you go, especially Herzliya, it looks like Miami.
Yeah, yeah. Just palm
like
trees.
Less cool dudes in sunglasses solving crimes, but, you know.
Less Cubans, probably.
Well, I don't know.
Or should I say fewer Cubans, to use that good English again. Fewer Cubans.
I have no idea if there is any.
In Israel?
Yeah.
Cubans.
It's really, it's a long swim, isn't it?
That's not that funny.
sorry, I grew up on American TV shows,
yeah,
in the
90s.
Yeah,
making fun of
it's not funny. Cubans are cool.
No, I mean, maybe it's funny, but I'm gonna say that it's not fun.
You should edit this out.
No. No, we all make crappy jokes sometimes, so.
Well, yeah.
So.
Yes, we're not the famous directors, though, that will get crucified for them.
Nah, but then they have all that money, so they can, sometimes they can say whatever they
see,
want.
See, that's the thing. I don't have any money.
So you can say anything, too.
Well, I don't want to burn myself from the start.
True. So no more jokes about Cubans. Swimming.
I've actually never made jokes about Cubans. It just popped into
just the first one?
Yeah.
Alright.
And last one. Cubans
and
are cool.
And the last.
And the last. You have any Cuban listeners?
I hope so. I hope so. Not so that they're listening to your joke and then they get offended, just because I think it's really nice to have a nice mix of listeners. But
a friend of mine went to Cuba. I will never let you finish. A friend of mine. This is not over until I say it, so.
I actually don't know what to say next. I'm looking at the pink card, and it's like a blank spot. You see it?
I don't know. I see like a little heart there.
No, that's a question mark.
Okay. Then I don't know what it says.
So
alien language.
Say more about you know. So you said you couldn't imagine doing anything else, but then of course you could, because you've done other things besides art.
Yeah.
So what is it about, let's say, get more specific, specifically graphic novels? What draws you to that? Like, why?
Well, it's
is it for you? Is it for someone else? Is it for your audience? Is it something personal that you need to let out?
It has to be for me.
Okay.
And it's like my story is, like, Willa, the graphic novel I'm working on right now, it's about this idea of reincarnation that I've had for years, like, mm-hmm. how I think it works and how it can be a form of time travel. And I wanted, like, I've been making jokes about it, and then I decided to make it into a story. It took a few years, And because I really wanted to learn how to do it. Like, I didn't want to just sit down and write, like, episode one, Willa goes to poop. Episode two, Willa gets toilet paper. I wanted to learn how to tell stories in a way that people tell them. Because I was taught that first you learn the way to do it, like everyone does, and then you put your own spin on it.
Yeah, imitate and then originate.
Exactly.
I just made that up right now. You guys can all use it.
Yes, it's. I've heard it before.
What?
yeah. You're not as smart as you think.
Definitely not. All right, no, actually, I'm exactly as smart as I think.
Interesting.
Which is not very smart.
And I'm humble.
Which is not very smart, though. Well, so you mentioned Willa, and that it's sort of like an exploration, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. I have this. I'm an atheist. I don't necessarily follow. I know what an atheist means. I guess I'm not though. I am into Jesus. No, I'm kidding.
A Jew for Jesus.
A Jew for Jesus. I'm Jew. You know, there's.
That's a thing.
I know. Yeah. Jews for Jesus. Well, he was a Jew.
So. Well, yeah.
And I love Carpenter. Carpenter.
John Carpenter is great. No. Great director.
Yes. Yes, he is. But
not a Jew.
Not well.
Oh wait, is he Jewish?
I don't know. I don't know. So. I think all of Hollywood is
somehow.
Yeah. No. I'm into building stuff with wood. Carpentry.
Okay.
So I'm Jewish. I like building boats. You know, I can walk on water. Make your own conclusions. Don't have any hair, but.
You don't have any hair?
No, I've lost it all. A long time ago.
Well, I think we're going to leave it at that for this episode. I really think that you could probably come back and talk more if you want to.
Definitely.
Especially after you get your Kickstarter going with Willa86. And, I would really love to hear more because, honestly, all the amount of things that you're doing really would, it's an hour is not enough time to talk about all that stuff.
I'm a chatty person.
Yeah, and also you're a very chatty person. So, but thanks for being on Voices from the Dark.
Thank you for inviting me. Being in Berlin has been like one experience that I've always wanted to do after another, and being on a podcast is way, way up there. Because a really short story before
sure, of course.
The thing that got me into storytelling in the beginning, when I was sitting, it's like a weird memory. My wife was asleep and I had insomnia, and we had like this pretty much two bedroom apartment. So one was our bedroom, the other one was my office, and I was sitting and playing around in 3D in a 3D program. And I stumbled upon Kevin Smith podcast, Smodcast, which was like he was starting. And I started listening, and he had, I think, like 100 episodes when I found it. And I started listening to his podcast, and Kevin Smith was, I'm a fan. I've been a fan since Clerks.
Yeah.
And I started listening, and he would say, hey, you don't need to rent a film camera, you don't need to do anything to tell a story, just write it and go shoot it on your iPhone. And this podcast kind of inspired me to say, fuck it, like, this is what I really want to do, and I think it's a possibility. So a podcast for me started this path. You were asking me about
what started you.
So really it was this podcast that told me that I can, and that I'm allowed to have a voice and say stuff. And it's sort of like a closure thing for me to be on one, because I still listen to his podcast, and every time I listen, I'm like, what would I say during those questions?
Yeah.
So I finally get to talk a lot, probably too much.
It's perfect.
about my experiences, I guess. I don't know. So I thank you for this opportunity. It's pretty amazing for me.
Yeah, of course. And that's what the podcast is all about. It's about the voices in the dark, the voices that are not heard. And yeah, obviously people like Joe Rogan, Kevin Smith, and a lot of famous people, they have podcasts, and you know, we listen to them because they're already famous, but this podcast is more about the unseen voices.
Yeah.
And so I would love to have you back. And
with pleasure.
I will put your links in the show description. I just want to make some announcements before we end up, or recap the announcements. So come back for more artist series, the Mistaken Ideas, both are going to keep going, the Socialism Podcast, and of course the Dirty Dozen Party. I'm going to send out an invite event at some point on social media. Tweet at voices, actually twitter.com/voices_dark with the fallacies we talk about on Mistaken Ideas and any other comments that you might have about the show. So I just want to say again, thanks to Anton, and yeah, keep your ears and your mind open. Voices from the Dark.
Bye.
Bye.